This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. If you pay attention to the rhetoric between climate change supporters and deniers, you would think that it is a polarizing issue, that you could predict by political party affiliation which way people might fall on issues like clean energy, on taxes on energy. Well, there's a really interesting new poll out this week that says that's not true. A majority of people of all parties believe that global warming should be a political priority, and they want their elected officials to do something about it. Joining me now to talk about it is Anthony Leiserwitz. He's director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication at Yale University in New Haven. He's one of the people behind that survey. Welcome back to the program, Anthony.
It's great to be with you, Ira. Thank you.
I'm just looking at the abstract of your studies, and some of these numbers are amazing. 72% of all Americans think that global warming should be a very high or medium or priority for the president and the Congress. And that crosses all party lines.
It does. It includes 84% of Democrats, 68% of independents, and 52% of Republicans. So, yes, there is this difference between Democrats and Republicans, but nonetheless, a majority of Republicans do think that global warming should be a priority for our elected officials.
So why are we all under the impression that there isn't not this majority?
Great question. So one of the things that became very clear to us early in our research was that Americans don't speak with a single voice on this issue. And in fact, what we've identified is what we call global warming six Americas. That essentially you can look at the country and find that there are six very different communities within the United States that each respond to this issue in very different ways. One group we call the alarmed. That's only about 12% of the public. These are people who are firmly convinced it's happening, human-caused, urgent. They're taking some action in their lives, and they want to know what else can I do as an individual or we do collectively as a society. That's followed by a group we call the concerned. That's about 27%. These are people who also think it's happening in human cause, but they think it's more of a distant threat. You know, maybe distant, you know, impacts won't be felt for a generation or more. So they think we should do something, but it's not a high priority. Then a group we call the cautious. About a quarter of the public. These are kind of fence sitters, still making up their mind, is it happening or not, is it human and natural, etc. A group that's about 10% that we call the disengaged, and these are people who say, you know, I've heard of global warming before, but I really don't know anything about it. A group we call the doubtful, that's about 15%. These are people who say, I don't think it's happening, but if it is, it's probably just natural cycles, nothing we've had anything to do with, you know, nothing we can do anything about. So I don't really pay that much attention to it, but I don't think of it much of as a problem. And then last but not least is a group we call the dismissive, and that's about 10% of the public. These are people who are firmly convinced it's not happening, not human-caused, and many of them are what we would lovingly call conspiracy theorists. They say it's a hoax, it's scientists making up data, it's a UN plot to take away American sovereignty, it's Al Gore and his friends trying to get rich, and many other such variants of those kind of arguments. And so the important thing here is, one, that there are all these different audiences within the American public, each of which responding to this issue in a very different way, coming at it from a very different perspective, but also that the dismissive, those that really are, I mean, and they're quite vocal, actually. They're very immobilized. They're very engaged. Given the opportunity, they will talk a lot about this issue. They're only 10%, and yet they appear much larger because they tend to dominate many of, you know, much of the public square, essentially.
And so they're getting the attention maybe because of our media being so polarized also.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, there's a basic imperative, especially in commercial media, to that controversy sells. Yeah. And so especially in the 24/7 cable environment where you're desperate for eyeballs, you know, which would you rather see, somebody who's methodically and deliberately laying out the science of climate change or two people yelling at each other and getting into a fight? So, unfortunately, the media itself has some structural issues that make it harder to have a reasonable conversation.
So, what does the public want their elected officials and their corporations to do?
Well, what we see, interestingly, across the board is that Americans want a whole variety of actors, including corporations in particular, but government officials, and notably themselves, other citizens, to begin to take actions on this issue. And again, this is across political lines, though, again, there are differences. Republicans not quite as involved and engaged as Democrats, but nonetheless still majorities in most cases. And in a few cases, we see some really interesting things where, for instance, back to that Six Americas idea again, whereas the alarmed and the concerned really support things like regulating carbon dioxide as a pollutant, the dismissive tend to be very opposed to that because the dismissive turn out to be pretty against any kind of government interference or intervention in markets or in society. And that's really what many of them fear. They'll complain about climate change and they'll argue about the science, but what really seems to motivate many of them is this underlying fear. They perceive risk, not of climate change, but that government is going to have to play a bigger role in shaping our society. And that, to them, is anathema. That's something they're deeply concerned about. And as a result, they oppose things like that. But when you look at a policy like, should the nation make a major investment in clean energy, everybody supports that. I mean, in some cases, we found 9 out of 10 Americans support a national investment in clean energy. And the point here is that there are many roads to Damascus. People can come to support the exact same policy, albeit for very different reasons. The alarmed and the concerned, they support clean energy because they're worried about carbon emissions and, you know, reducing climate change. But the doubtful and dismissive don't believe in climate change. But they support those exact same policies because they resonate with their deeply held values and concerns, namely that we are so dependent on fossil fuels and other countries for the energy that runs most of our modern society. So this issues of dependence and self-reliance, which are core American values and are really held strongly by these groups, also come into play when we talk about renewable energy.
Are they willing to pay more in taxes?
They are willing to pay more, not necessarily in taxes. That word in particular has come to have all these additional meanings on them, where people have these knee-jerk reactions to the term taxes. But on the other hand, people are much more willing to, for instance, to say, look, I'd pay a little bit more for my electricity if it came from clean energy sources. We've asked that, you know, would you pay more for a 20% requirement that all electricity in the country be produced by renewable energy sources, even if it costs the average household $100? And we find that there's very strong support for that, again, across party lines. So it's not that people aren't willing to pay something, and in fact, I would suggest that most people would like to do what they think is as the right thing. Mm-hmm. Problem is, we just generally don't make it easy for them.
Yeah. You say that by a margin of 3-1, Americans say they would be more likely to vote for a political candidate who supports a, quote, revenue-neutral tax shift. What does that mean?
Yeah, really interesting. So we all remember now that there was this big fight in this country over cap and trade, you know, this market mechanism that was put forward a couple years ago, which did not pass. At the same time, there's been a whole other community of scholars that have looked and been proposing a different approach, which is basically that you increase taxes on something that we think is, in this case, a bad, fossil fuel use, and decrease an equivalent amount of taxes on something that we all think of as good, which is income taxes. And so this is often called a tax swap, that basically we don't let the elected officials, we don't give Congress a cent more, but that we increase taxes on fossil fuels and decrease taxes on people's income tax by an equivalent amount. And what's interesting about that is who supports that. We see everyone from Al Gore on the one hand to very conservative former representative Bob Inglis on the other, liberal institutions like Brookings Institute to the very conservative American Enterprise Institute support this exact same idea. And what we again find is that, as you just said, 3-1 Americans support that, including Republicans, 2-1 say that they would be more likely to vote for a candidate who supports that kind of a policy.
Well, do you then think that this will be raised? Are these issues of Americans wanting some action, they want some more renewable energies, can this be an issue in the election year this year?
Wonderful question. We don't really know. I wish I had a crystal ball for this year, but I don't. And what we have seen, however, is that, for instance, President Obama about a week ago, gave an interview in Rolling Stone where he said that he was planning to make climate change an issue in this campaign. We'll see how it plays out. Clearly, climate change does not rise to the level of national priority for most Americans as the economy and unemployment and other kinds of issues like that. I mean, that's perfectly understandable. But nonetheless, because the parties have seemingly drifted apart so far in terms of their views of climate change and climate change science, that perhaps there's going to be a robust discussion about which of these two approaches do people prefer.
You know, as this horse race gets going down the stretch here this year, we're going to be seeing polls come out virtually every week, right?
Yeah.
But I'm asking you, how many of them are going to ask any of these questions you've asked about, you know, climate change, global warming, alternative energies? It seems like when you look at the polling, the exit polling, whatever, that the pollsters ask, they hardly ever ask these kinds of questions in those polls.
That's generally true. I mean, not completely true. I mean, Gallup does ask questions about this on a regular basis. Pew asks questions about this on a regular basis, and a number of other places. But you're right. I mean, look, the pollsters generally are following very closely what's currently in the news, and so the media plays a huge role here in setting the agenda. What are the issues that we're going to argue about in this election? Well, we don't know, in part because we don't yet know not only how the media is going to report it, but what are the issues that are going to be happening, the events that are happening at the moment? You know, is unemployment up or is unemployment down? You know, does Israel attack Iran or not? If they do, or we, you know, go into that kind of a confrontational stance, you know, nobody's going to be talking about climate change in that kind of a situation. So that's why no one can look ahead, months ahead, and say, yeah, this will be the issue that's going to be, you know, top on most people's minds when they're going into the voting booth.
But shouldn't you at least offer the people you're polling the option of checking that box as one of the issues?
In terms of,
you know, as climate change or renewable energy, things like that, if the choice is not even offered on the sheet of things that is on your radar screen.
Yeah. Well, I this is actually a really important point, is that when you look at, and I'll just come back to media coverage as an example, you know, for most people, this is an issue that's invisible. I mean, you can look out your window right this moment, and there's CO2 pouring out of tailpipes, out of smokestacks, out of buildings, but you can't see it. And likewise, you can't see the impacts unless you know where to look. In fact, the only way most Americans even know about this issue is because of what they've learned about it through the media. They're not reading the peer-reviewed literature. They don't know scientists personally. They're learning about it through the media. And when the media doesn't report this issue, it's literally out of sight and out of mind.
Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between the national poll you conducted and registered voters? Did they have different opinions about it?
No, in fact, that's exactly what we did in this study, is that we asked people, are you registered to vote? And we only looked at those Democrats, Republicans, and Independents who are registered, because obviously those are the people who will actually walk into the voting booth.
Mm-hmm. So these are the kinds of people exactly who the politicians want to know about, the registered voters.
Absolutely.
And have you gotten any reaction from them at all?
I think there's a lot of interest. And I mean, in fact, as I look back at the bigger picture, we've kind of gone through this, you know, this, I don't know if it's a cycle, but it's certainly a set of shifts where everybody was talking about climate change and sustainability and global environmental problems, if you'll remember, back in 2007 and 2008. And then suddenly everybody stopped talking about it. And in fact, for many people, the term, using the word global warming or climate change in political discourse, was seen as something you shouldn't do. I think what we may be at the beginning of is to be able to bring these words back into our political discourse, and actually as a point of discussion about how do we move forward as a society.
Mm-hmm. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from NPR. Talking with Anthony Leiserwitz of he's the director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication at Yale. How can you follow up with this? Can you keep coming up with new polls so we can follow this?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be doing this at least twice a year. And, of course, we have lots of other colleagues around the country that are also surveying on these exact same topics.
And how will we know if this does move more into the political discourse as well as the public discourse?
Well, I think we'll see it. I mean, first of all, you can see it in the number of times that the president talks about this, that candidate Mitt Romney talks about this, as well as across the board. I mean, remember, it's not just a presidential election. Mm-hmm. There are Senate races and congressional races all over this country. And what we're seeing is that a lot of people are beginning to ask the question about climate change. And let me add this, that because this same study also found that many Americans are beginning to talk about or think about in their own mind, or more importantly, connect the dots between climate change and this incredible spate of extreme weather that we've experienced over the past year and a half. I mean, last year, 2011, we had over $14 billion disasters. Okay, it was an all-time record in the United States. And in this survey, we actually asked people, you know, did you actually experience one of these extreme weather events or disasters? 8 out of 10 Americans say yes. Were you harmed by these events? 1/3 of Americans say that yes, they were harmed a substantial amount by one of these events. And then last, how are you interpreting these events? Do you think that global warming made any of these events worse? And what we find is large majorities of Americans are already beginning to say yes to that question. 72% of Americans, for instance, think that global warming made the record warm winter we've just experienced, and in some places still experiencing, worse. Likewise, the record summer temperatures we saw last year, or the drought in Texas and Oklahoma. 69% of Americans think that climate change played at least some role in that. So what it does is it begins to open up this conversation where we're no longer talking about global climate change exclusively, but also about what does that mean for us locally, where we live.
And that goes to what you were saying before. No one can see carbon dioxide, but they can see the storms.
They can't
see the hurricanes,
the
tornadoes and things, and try to connect the dots themselves if no one else is going to connect the dots for them.
That's exactly right.
All right. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Iris. Great to be with you.
And I look forward to your next poll. Anthony Leisowitz is director of the Yale Project on Climate Change Communication at Yale University and one of the people behind this new survey out this week. Got a hankering for a bit more conversation? You didn't like what you heard. You want to hear more of it? Well, you can keep the chat going at Science Friday's Facebook page. That's at facebook.com/scifry. Or you can tweet us all week long at SciFry. That's at SCIFRI.